Welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that as you listen, you will be encouraged in your journey and that your relationship with Father God will be strengthened and deepened. Here's this week's message from Pastor Claude.
If you're here for the first time, welcome. We are in the series of freedom. We're talking about freedom that Christ brings. And so it's been an amazing journey of walking in freedom. And like we say every week, God has come, Jesus has come, God flesh came, and his desire was to bring freedom in our lives, right? And what I'd like to focus on this morning, it's a great time to focus on this topic. We're celebrating Palm Sunday this morning. We'll focus on freedom in worship. When it comes to life, there's some stuff that we're not the greatest at, right? Like for me, it's like building stuff. It seems like everything is always too short. I have a struggle of building stuff. I've got to take measurements 100 times before I cut. Unreal. There's things that I'm okay with, and there's hopefully things that I'm a little better and I feel comfortable with. And there's things I would never do. I would never work on a skyscraper. Walking on those beams, I don't know if you ever YouTube that, people walking on those beams like so high up there. Not for me. Maybe for you, but not for me. And there's stuff I would never try. I would never bungee jump. I don't know if you have. How many of you have bungee jump? Yeah, man, good for you. So happy for you. I honor you. I really do. To go on this platform and have something that is attached to your ankles and throw yourself, like, that's crazy, right? Think about it, like, just, I don't want to preach anymore. I feel like, no way. So good for you if you do that, right? And there's things that we don't want to mess up, right? Last thing you want to do as a pastor is to forget the names of the people that are getting married on their wedding day. You don't want to do that. It already has happened to me. One time I was in my zone. I was preaching, I was like officiating this beautiful wedding, and I just walk away from my notes, I was confident, and then there's this little kid that just ran in the front, and I looked at him, and then I had a blank. I didn't know where I was, and at that time I didn't have a tablet, I was looking for my paper, and then this lady, like this bride in the front says, "I do," and the guy says, "I do," and I was caught off guard. It was not too good. But I remember my sister, though, when she went to a funeral and she was in line to meet with the family, and she says, congratulations. And I was not good to say that at a funeral. So I always think about what she did, and I feel always better when it comes to things that you don't want to mess up. But there's one thing as a believer that you can't mess up. It's good news. Is when it's praise and worship. You cannot mess that up. It doesn't matter if you sing or you don't. You don't want me in the choir, but it doesn't matter how I sing, if I'm off key or not. It's not really that, the heart of worship. It doesn't matter the language that you worship. God doesn't care to say which language are you going to worship. Even though you might not always have the right words, when I close my eyes, sometimes I just invent my own words. I remember this person was beside me and looked at me. "What song are you singing?" "I don't know. I'm just worshiping God." I try to wear my eyes closed with all the new songs. I don't know I don't know what the song is. So I just invent my own language, and that's fine. It doesn't matter your social status or your age, right? We can all worship God. That's amazing, right? When you think about that. How many of you have mobility and strength to raise your hand? Most of you do, eh? How many of you are able to let air come out of your mouth? That's pretty cool. How many of you have great reasons to be grateful? Yeah, and so we can all worship the Lord. And what we need to realize is that worship is our calling. And why is it a big deal to worship God? It is a big deal because my first calling is to be a worshiper. And I don't know your background. I don't know where you went to church before. I know for myself, coming from a religious background, I didn't have a clue what worship was all about. I didn't know that I was able to express my heart and love on God. And to love on God as much He has love on me while trying. I can't love him to the depth that he loved me, but that I could express my heart and my love to God. And that was a new concept because it was not part of how I grew up, right? And so just to grow in this acknowledgement of God and seeing who he is and what he has done for me, I believe causes us to respond to God. And one of the ways that we're called to respond to God is by worshiping him. When it comes to the calling of the believer, its first mandate is to worship God. There's a lot of things that we're called to do. And there's a lot of things that we're called to walk by. We're called to walk according to his word. Amen. We want to be a people of his word. And sometimes I see people that they say, we are a people of God's word, but we don't need to worship. I don't think you want to choose between the two. Is you want to be grounded in God's word. Amen. You want to know his word. You want to keep his word into your heart. And you want to live a life that honors his word. But I believe there's also this call that we have to be worshipers. And I believe that if you gave your life to the Lord, your mandate is to be a worshiper. That's your calling. This is who we are. This is who you are. When God made you, when he made you new in Christ Jesus, your first calling and mandate was to worship him. My question is for you, do you see yourself as a worshiper? Are you living a life of worship? Way more than here, right? We know that worshiping is not just the fruit of our lips, but it is. We'll talk about that in a moment. But it's how I live my life. But there needs to be, I believe, a response that we have to God that is expressed through praise and worship. If you look at Isaiah 43, verse 20, it says, talks about God here. I provide water in the desert and streams in the wasteland. I give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I form for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. So God made the Israelites with the intention that they would worship him. I believe it's the same thing for us as a church, is that the primary call that we have, we were made to be worshipers. So it's not kind of linked to, well, I don't know, that's not my personality, or, you know, it's not my style, it's not my preference. It's not a question of style and preference and personality. It's about God made me to be a worshiper. You look at Exodus chapter 8, verse 20. It talks about God leading Moses to bring freedom to the Israelites that were captive in Egypt. And it says, and the Lord said to Moses, go up early in the morning and confront Pharaoh as he goes to the water and say to him, this is what the Lord says, let my people go so that they may worship me. Wow. Leaving Egypt to go worship. It's a great allegory when it comes to us being slave in Egypt before we became believers, and Jesus freed us from Egypt to do what? First, to worship. The intent that God had for the Israelite is that he wanted to be their God. He wanted them to trust. He wanted them to trust in him to make them the focus of their existence. And one of the avenues that defines that, that explains that, it's when we worship God. And so the Israelites were set free from Egypt with the mandate of worshiping God. It's a big deal, right? And sometimes I see people or churches downplaying that, oh, it's not a big deal, you know. It is a big deal. When it comes to worship, when I realize it's my calling and I'm a worshiper, it is a big deal if I worship or not. And so we want to be a people that knows him, that walks according to his word, but that is inclined and free to express and worship the one that made us, right? You look at 1 Peter chapter 1, chapter 2, verse 9, when it comes to the priesthood of the believer. Look what it says, but you are a chosen people, that's us, a royal priesthood. Woohoo, yay, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Can you say to your neighbor, a royal priesthood? Royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. That's a big deal, right? Yeah, it's amazing. Look what it says. So you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Like, it's hard to contain your praise when you read this, right? Would you agree? It's hard to say, oh, I'm going to seal my emotions because people will say worship is emotionalism. No, it's not. It has emotions. Do you have emotions? I hope that you do. Because if you don't, you have problems, right? Hey, come on. When you see the Jets win, what do you do if you're a Jets fan and you see them win a game? Like, do you assume they won a game? Like, that's probably me because I'm a Habs fan. So I said, I'm going to game. So there's no phrase there. But like, let's say you plan a trip to go to Mexico with your family. You say, I'm going to Mexico. Are you happy about it? Yeah, you're pumped. You're going to Mexico. There's an excitement. When you look at 1 Peter chapter 2, that I'm a chosen person, people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, the people belonging to God, belong to God. That you may declare, and so I'm this, and this is what I'm called to do, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into wonderful light, is wonderful light. I was in darkness, now I'm not. So, should come out, right? Yeah, priesthood of the believer. John chapter 4, verse 23. Yet a time will come, and has now come, when the true worshipers. It's talking about who? Who do you think he's talking about? Who is he talking to? He's talking to us, right? We'll worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and truth. When it comes to spirit and truth, it comes from the inner man with sincerity, with a heart, and in truth is according to his ways and according to a lifetime that honors him. But there's this call to be worshipers. I'm called a worshiper. You're called to be a worshiper. What am I doing with this? How do I let that box up? Like, do I let tradition, my background, my fears, my personality box that up? Or do I stand and experience this call of being a worshiper? And I think we got to, right? David gives us the great example of how it looks in Psalm 63. 1-5, beautiful verses. Look what he says here. Oh God, you are my God. He's not just God, but you're my God. He personalized it. You know, he knows God. He has encountered him. We'll see that in a moment. And he says here, earnestly, I seek you. Personally, Lord, I seek you. Meaning I want you. Meaning that I'm putting things aside. I'm focusing on you. I'm thinking about you. I want you in my life. He's seeking him. He's giving his attention, giving his focus, and his eyes are on the prize. And he says, I seek you. And then he goes a little further. He says, my soul thirsts for you. Ah, my inner man, God, is due to be in your presence. My inner man wants your presence. And you know what that is, eh? When you've encountered God and you take time with God, you know what God's presence is. It's so, so fulfilling, right? And it gives us a taste of eternity. After you've connected with God or God has encountered you, it's the greatest thing on earth, right? Would you agree? That's like, it's so amazing to come in this place of intimacy. When you connect with God and God connects with you, it's divine, it's sublime. It's sublime, I'll say it in French. So amazing, right? And so it says here, oh God, you are my God, earnestly I seek you, my soul thirsts for you. And he goes a little further, my flesh faints for you, like it's in my bones. I really want you, God. In a dry and weary land, he's in a hard place right now. He's not in the temple, he's not in Jerusalem, he's hiding, He is in the wilderness, and here you see him saying, God, my flesh faints for you, and my soul thirsts for you, and I seek you. And then he remembers the Lord when he was encountered by God, when he was in his presence. He says, so I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and your glory. When it comes to beholding, it's like you're just in awe of God. So when you're in awe of God, you're probably going to be quiet. There's a chance that you'll go on your knees. You'll have no words to say. Have you ever been in a place where you have no words to say? Like, you know, if you would say something, it would kill the moment. You're just in awe of God. This is where you might even remove your shoes, or you might have your face on the floor, and you're just caught up with God and you adore Him. And that's what He's saying, beholding Your power and glory, God, there's nothing I can say. It's overwhelming. And then He says over verse 3, because Your steadfast love is better than life, because life is short and I see how life is without You is meaningless, and Your love makes the whole difference. Experiencing Your love changes everything. He says, my lips will praise You. He doesn't say my thoughts will praise You. My lips will praise You. Yes, there's this time to say, to stop and know that I'm God. There's this time, and sometimes when I talk to people about praise, they will say, well, you gotta stop and know that I'm God. Yeah, there's this time of reverence and awe, but there's also a time when your lips are expressing the goodness of the Lord, where you from your lips, you verbalize your praises to God. In verse 4, it says, so I will bless You as long as I live. So he talks about his commitment to the Lord. Because you remember, He knows Him. You remember who He is. He knows Him. And He says, I will lift up my hands. In Your name, I will lift up my hands. So lifting of hands, it's a biblical thing. It might be a touchdown. I don't know. It could be doing like the queen. I don't know. It might be like just doing like a flag or holding a baby. I don't know. But it's to lift up your hand. It doesn't matter how that looks. But there's this submission and reverence towards God where you say, God, here I am. It says in 1 Timothy, Paul is saying to Timothy, that when men are called to pray, make sure that they have lifted hands when they pray, as he gives that as an ordinance. But when we look here in praise and worship here, we see the lifting of the hands as an expression of worship and surrender. And he says in verse 5, my soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food. Like, he's talking here about it being encountered by God, and his inner man is satisfied. And then he says, my mouth will praise You with joyful lips. See, it's a nice picture of what worship is. And I believe that God wants us to experience that, right? Because God is so amazing, and there's so much He has done for us, like God had done so much for David. And that's how he responded to God. And there's lots to learn about worship in Scripture. There's lots to learn, right? We learn in Scripture of how are we called to face a position and challenges that comes our way. And we find that in Psalm 63, just what I just read, where David is in the wilderness and he starts to praise God. But you think about Paul and Silas that were in prison. They were in prison doing the work of the kingdom, and they were beaten up. And they're in the prison, and what do? They start to worship the Lord. They start to make noise with their chains. And the prisoners were able to hear them worship the Lord. What a way to respond to a crisis. And the beauty of this story is we know that they were free. The prison opened up, and the jailer wanted to take his life, and they brought him to the Lord. And actually, it was kind of a church plant, and God used that moment to create a work in that city. But you see how they responded to circumstances. Instead of running to the right or to the left, they stopped, and they praised and worship God. You think about 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 21, when Jehoshaphat goes to war and he sends the worshipers to war. Like, oh no, in a rational understanding, you would say, are they going to be slaughtered? No, he understood that God would fight in their behalf. He understood that it was not about the sword and the chariots, it was about God that was going to intervene. And so what they did is they went forward with praise and worship. And the story goes is the Israelite had a tremendous victory, and it happened through praise and worship. So we learn a lot from the Scripture when it comes to worship. We also learn that God inhabits the praise of His people. Think about that for a moment. Think about that. When His people come together and worship the Lord, according to Psalm 22, verse 3, God comes and moves. That's the culture of heaven. That's a culture that that we're called to create, where our desire is to worship God, and God responds to us when we worship Him. It's amazing, right? We are learned that God shows up in glory when His people praise Him. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 13. What a verse, two verses that are amazing. It says, "The trumpeters and the singers perform together in unison to praise and give thanks to the Lord, accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments. They raise their voice and praise the Lord with these words, 'He is good, and His faithful love endures forever.' At that moment, a thick cloud filled the temple of God, and they could not play anymore." The presence of God was so thick. God moves in when we worship. James chapter 4, verse 3 says, "Come near God, and I will come near you." That's pretty cool, right? You draw into His courts with praise and worship, and then God responds to that. And for sure, we have to do with our heart, but also with our lips. That's how we're called to worship. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 says, Therefore, by Him, let us continually offer sacrifice of praise to God, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to Him." The fruit of our lips. You see, well, you might say, "Well, Pastor, that's not my style." It has nothing to do with your style. It's about responding to God, the fruit of your lips. And you want to do it with your heart that is committed, for sure, like Matthew 15, 8. "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. In vain do they worship me." We understand that. It's not just words. It's not just a moment. It's not just a burst of emotion. It's a lifestyle that is committed to Christ. But there's also the call to verbalize our praise and worship, because He is unreal. He is so good, right? Like I said, it's the culture of heaven. Revelation chapter 7, verse 11 says, "And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their face before the throne and worshiped God." They fell on their face and they worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor, power and might be to our God forever and ever." That's what's happening in heaven. And so worship is a big deal. And so we want to be a people of worship. I want to be a person that worships God. And I, if I give you my journey, like if I look at the encounters that God, or the times I had with God where God encountered me, many times it was linked to worship. It's when I opened up to Him and acknowledged Him. It's like when you get caught up with Him, you kind of forget about yourself, right? And so you get caught up with Him and you verbalize and you love on God. And there's this connection or this meeting point where God meets you when you open up and connect with Him. So it's not, when it comes to worship, it's not a style of a church. Every church has its own style, and that's fine. But it's about connecting with God. It's about acknowledging Him, right? It's about reverencing Him, celebrating what He has done, rejoicing in Him. And we can all do that because you all agreed that you have motion in your arm and that there's air that comes out of your mouth. That's possible. So that means that we can all do that, right? And sometimes I look at what are the boxes that were put around us? What are the boxes that were put around you when maybe you were a teenager or whatever, boxes of don't show, don't do, don't. And I think we got to break free of that, right? This is why freedom is worship is a huge topic, because I want to be free to worship God. And I believe that God wants you to be free to worship Him, that you would step in the calling that you have to be a worshiper, right? Palm Sunday is a beautiful invitation to praise the Lord. It really is. If you look at the story of Palm Sunday, where Jesus is entering Jerusalem last week before He lays His life down for us, that He becomes the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, He enters Jerusalem, and you probably know the story because we like to read this text every year. But take a look at Luke chapter 19, verse 27. "When He came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in a loud voice for all the miracles they have seen." Like, I've heard some people use that as a negative thing, that, oh, they worship God because of what he has done. Well, the thing is, when you see Lazarus come out from the grave, I think it should trigger something in our hearts, right? And so they had good reason to give praise to the Lord. It's not a negative statement at all. It's a positive one. God had done so much. He saw signs and wonders. So they were just praising God because it showed, it was the proof that he was the Messiah. And it says in verse 38, blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. They shouted, Hosanna, meaning you save us. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And so some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, teacher, rebuke your disciples. Like, they didn't see who Jesus was. Like, they didn't acknowledge who Jesus was. And so for sure, they criticized the disciples that were worshiping Jesus. And look what Jesus answered. I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. Imagine this. Like, it was their day of deliverance. Like, hindsight, we know the story. Jesus knew the story. They didn't. And so when you look at this, Jesus is saying there's a reason for them to rejoice because salvation is coming to the house of Israel. And so if they don't, the stones will, right? And here it says, and the punchline is 41, where it says, and as he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city, he wept over it and said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. And the Pharisees did not see Jesus, but the disciples did. And you can see in their behavior. One is criticizing, and the others are just caught up with Jesus and worship Jesus. You know, I was reading this and I was saying, I don't need the stones to see a word because I'm here. I don't have to have the stones respond to this because I'm here and I'm called to do it. I'm called to respond to God with love and affection and freedom and not to be caught by the fear of man or culture or to say, well, you know, it's my personality. It has very little to do with that. Is that when I understand what Jesus has done and understand who I am in him and the eternity that is at hand, I've got to see something. I can't keep my hands in my pocket. I can't chew my gum anymore. I can't have a zipper over my mouth. It doesn't make any sense because God has done so much for me. And my calling at the same time, it's to be a worshiper, right? So why do we worship? It's a response to him. Like I said earlier, I'm a worshiper, but at the same time, he is amazing and he has done so much for me. And by the way, worship is not a ladies' thing. Like, oh, the ladies are more emotional than men. No, it has nothing to do with gender. It's about responding to who God is. You look at Chronicles chapter 16, verse 23-28, you see it talks to us. It says, O nations of the world, recognize the Lord. Recognize that the Lord is glorious and strong. Give to the Lord the glory he deserves. Bring your offering and come into his presence. Worship the Lord in all his holy splendor. That's me and you. The invitation to worship the Lord in his holy splendor. Give honor and glory to the Lord. So, because he's worthy. If you look at Psalm 105, and we could go on with so many verses, it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving enter his gates with thanksgiving and in his courts with praise. Give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. My invitation to you this morning is that you would not hold back your praise and worship. You would not resist it, but that you would see how worthy it is. And that we would be like King David in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 22, when he's so excited that the ark of the Lord is coming back to Jerusalem. And he's there and he's dancing before the ark because he's so happy that God's presence is coming back home. So pumped about it. And he starts to worship God and his wife says, hey, a king should not worship the way you do. And he says, I will become even more undignified than this. And I will be humiliated in my own eyes, saying, you know, it's not about me. It's about him, and he deserves it. And I'm called to worship him because he has done so much. So there's freedom in worship. I'm going to tell you that if you take this path of being free in your heart to worship God because it's your choice, it's your decision. And I'm not talking about just here in your home. If you have kids, I invite you to model it. Model worship in your home. If you're a grandparent and you have grandkids, model it. If you're an aunt or an uncle, model it to your kids so that they would grow with this knowledge of their own calling of being worshipers and standing before the Lord with their praise and worship. And it's so important for us to see this, right? And so what we want as a people, we want to step in that call of worship. Maybe you're here today and you're thinking, well, there's no way I can worship. I've got sin in my life. I've you're filled with guilt and you're filled with a condemnation that tells you you're not worthy. Well, the good thing is no one of us is worthy. It's only because of grace that we can approach his throne of grace. It's only because of him that what he has done, just because of him, right? But let's say you are this morning like, you know, I'm living in sin and I feel the guilt and I don't want to be a hypocrite. That's fine. I think it's not a bad thing to have that heart if that's where you are. But look at what Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone. And when it comes to salvation, I'm not saying that you got to be saved again 100 times. But God is always about rescuing. So God wants to rescue you. Wherever you are, God wants you to be a worshiper. But if you're caught in bondage and you're not able to worship by the fear of man, by whatever it is, or sin, personal sin, well, call upon his name. Say, God, free me. Free me so I can stand in my calling of being a worshiper. Amen? So the go home with is that in your car, in your home, in your shower, at your workplace when you have a time, worship the Lord. You know, bless his name. Be conscious of him and tell him and verbalize how much he means to you. And reflect on his goodness and his favor that is upon you. Amen. I would ask you to stand. Father God, you're so amazing. You're so good. And we know that we stand before you only because of grace, not because of our works and not because of what we've done. God, you've placed upon our lives this call to worship you. And I pray, Father, that anything that prevents us of worshiping you, I pray that we would shed it, that we would break it off. Sin, fear, religion, background, whatever, Lord. I pray that we would be free to express our love and affection to you. Because you're so awesome and you're so good and you're so faithful, Lord, even when we're not. Even though we walk away, you never, never walk away. You rescue us time and time again. God, I just pray that in my heart that I would be caught up with you. I pray that my life would be caught up with you, that my life would be a worship unto you, but that I also would verbalize my praise and worship with joy and thanksgiving and reverence, because there's no one like you in the heavens, and there's no one like you on the earth, and there's no one like you under the earth. You are God, and you're worthy of my praises. So I reverence you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If there's anything we can do to help you along in your journey, email prayer@gmchurch.ca. If you'd like to see what's coming up at Gospel Mission Church or learn more about us, visit gmchurch.ca.